Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A Morrisville mother is charged with severely starving and murdering her own son inside of this home. We sit down with the chief of police to get answers.
With 4 days until Christmas, the travel rush is heating up. We'll show you how things are looking out here at RDU.
And still a cool day out there for us right now, but we do have some warmer temperatures on the way for this weekend. 60s. We'll talk about, though, the rain it could come with coming up.
We begin this noon hour with a disturbing case out of Wake County. A mother is charged with the murder of her 10-year-old son. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Ken Smith.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. 33-year-old Priyanka Tiwari is due in court this afternoon. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan is live in Morrisville with what she's learned about the case. Chelsea.
Yeah, this townhome behind me here in Morrisville on Craig Mead Drive is where Morrisville police responded to about 5:30 last night. They actually responded after the mother inside, who you mentioned, called 911 because her son was unresponsive. And when investigators arrived, they tried to do CPR, but the police chief said the boy was in a state of rigor mortis and he was badly decomposed. The chief says there was little to no food inside the home. The boy's mother, 33-year-old Priyanka Tiwari, was taken into custody and charged with murder and child abuse.
The child had been extremely malnourished, apparently had lost a considerable amount of weight in just the last few months and not been eating, which led us to, putting a lot of our focus to the mother, who's the only person that's been around the child.
Now, according to the police chief, they've actually responded to this home 8 times over the course of this year, many times for welfare checks from family calling from India to check on the boy. As you mentioned, the mother is due in court in the next 90 minutes and will be there, rather, and bring you updates on WRAL.com and in our later shows.
Such disturbing details about that case. Chelsea, thank you. After a chilly start to the day, highs will warm up to the upper 50s. Anthony Baglione is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at our holiday forecast.
Yeah, we're going to see temperatures continue to warm here into this weekend. We've seen some cloud cover kind of build in for us already. We're going for partly cloudy skies overall. There's been some sunshine peeking through, but this kind of tells the story right there, that cloud cover that has kind of streamed in from the west. We take a look at current satellite right now. A lot of our northeastern counties not seeing a lot of that, but most of us from the triangle back to the west, that's kind of where it's coming from as a disturbance back to our west. But again, not going to come with any rainfall, just the cloud cover out there for us right now. 56 in Raleigh, Durham, 50 in Roxborough. We're at 53 in Clinton, 53 in Goldsboro as well. We definitely are warmer than where we started this morning off in the 20s and 30s, and we'll continue to climb a couple degrees this afternoon. Travel-wise, though, we should be in great shape today. No big impacts for us. There's a moderate impact back toward, let's say, Dallas, but our neck of the woods looking good. We could see some rainfall, though, into this weekend, mainly once we get past, let's say, Christmas night into Tuesday morning. That's when we bump it up to about a 70% chance or so. The next time we meet, we're going to walk through that hour by hour and talk about when you may want to steer those travel plans here in just a few minutes.
Anthony, thanks. The holiday travel rush is on. An estimated 115 million Americans expected to travel over the Christmas holidays by road and by air. WRAL's Shelley Jackson live at RDU International monitoring the foot traffic for us. How's it looking out there, Shelley?
Well, Ken, it's shaping up to be a pretty good day to travel. Not too much in travel delays related to the weather out here on the East Coast. Here at RDU, let's look at the board. There have been 12 delays so far today, but you can see here, most of these flights are on time. Some have already landed. I think I might hop on the one for Freeport, the Bahamas. Let's look over here at the lines for TSA. They're not too bad, and when there is a little bit of a line, it tends to move pretty fast. And then over here at ticketing, well, there was a little bit of line before we started, and now they're pretty gone. So it's really kind of an ebb and flow. And when you're traveling here on Christmas, it tends to be a little more spread out than, say, Thanksgiving, and it gives travelers a little more room to breathe and a little less stress.
I just allotted myself a little bit of extra time to, you know, be able to get checked in and get on my flight and make sure I'm not rushing along, because like then it starts causing me a bunch of stress that I don't need on top of an already stressful time of the year. So
no delay.
No delay.
And out here, this is my favorite part of the airport, where you can see folks getting off the airplane and meeting up with their families. And we were talking to someone who works out here at the airport. He said this morning between 3:30 and 5, TSA was packed. The line was already out here, as well as the ticketing lines. So it really seems to be kind of an ebb and flow, depending on when you get here. When we arrived, no one was here. It was pretty quiet. In the last hour, we see a little bit more of a crowd. So it just really, I think, is luck on when you're departing. Ken?
It was quite the morning rush. Shelley Jackson reporting at RT International. Shelley, thanks.
From the skies to the roads, AAA forecasts 3.5 million North Carolinians will be driving to their holiday destination. To help ease the congestion on the roads, the state DOT will suspend most construction on major highways. Beginning tomorrow morning through January 2nd, most work along interstates, U.S. and key state routes will be suspended. Exceptions include bridges being replaced and long-term lane construction that cannot be temporarily removed. One such spot is I-40 in Haywood County, where lane closures will stay in place for safety reasons. As we head into the new year, get ready for some changes on I-40 between Raleigh and Johnston County. WRA's Brian Schrader checked in with engineers for an update on that major widening project. Brian.
Renee, drivers celebrated earlier this year when the DOT opened two new lanes in each direction of I-40 between 440 in Raleigh and the Clayton Bypass. Now, 5 years after beginning construction on this big project, crews are now entering the final stages. Take a look at this video Sky 5 shot early this morning. Crews are now focusing on upgrading that NC42 interchange with a diverging diamond design, and they're building a brand new interchange at Cleveland Road. NCDOT engineer Robert Bullock told me that the new exit should help commuters avoid congestion around businesses on Highway 42.
There's still going to be plenty of traffic for the businesses, but I think it'll help a lot of people that are just trying to get around at different parts of the day or in the evenings and morning to get off on Cleveland Road and kind of shoot around and allow others to get to the businesses faster on 42.
In addition to the work around NC42, crews are also finishing this big interchange that ties Interstate 40 with the Clayton Bypass and eventually NC540, which is still under construction. So here is the latest timeline from NCDOT. You can expect some traffic shifts on I-40 around 42 and Cleveland Road as we head into the spring, but everything should be finished in the summer, Renee.
And drivers will be celebrating then. All right, Brian, thank you.
Six Americans who were wrongfully detained in Venezuela are back on U.S. soil. It comes after the Biden administration negotiated a prisoner swap of 10 Americans in exchange for close ally of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. The release unfolded so quickly that family members didn't make it to the San Antonio, Texas airfield, where six of the 10 walked off a plane. One of the Americans was wrongfully imprisoned on terrorism charges and accused of conspiring with the political opposition of Maduro.
I didn't know if I would ever make it out. And it's really scary to be in a place where you're used to having freedoms and you're locked into a cell, sometimes with four other people, very tiny cell, and to realize, am I ever going to get out of this?
Four other Americans were flown to Miami. Also, an American who has been wrongfully detained in Russia for 5 years says he fears for his safety. Paul Whelan says he is being targeted by an official at a remote prison camp in retaliation for the official being admonished for the November 28th assault. In December 2018, Russian officials detained Whelan after accusing him of being a spy. The United States Marine Corps veteran was sentenced to 16 years in prison. In May, State Department officials say they are working to secure his release.
Colorado Supreme Court justices are receiving threats after disqualifying former President Donald Trump from the state's primary ballot. The decision prompted a flood of threats against the justices who ruled in the case. Advanced Democracy, a nonprofit organization that conducts public interest research, identified significant violent rhetoric against the justices and Democrats. They found that some social media users posted justices' email addresses, phone numbers, and office building addresses.
It's a big weekend for football on WREL and Fox 50. It all starts Saturday at 4:30 in the afternoon on WREL when the Pittsburgh Steelers take on the Cincinnati Bengals. NFL Sunday begins on Fox 50 at 1 p.m. The Carolina Panthers look for another win against the Green Bay Packers. Then at 4, it's the Dallas Cowboys against the Miami Dolphins. There's also a game on Fox 50 on Christmas Day. The New York Giants play the Philadelphia Eagles at 4:30 on Monday afternoon.
Next at noon, the reasons behind a surge in emergency contraception sales as we get ready to ring in the new year.
Also, COVID cases are on the rise. The information from the Centers for Disease Control about the newest variant now making its way across the country.
Plus, a behind-the-scenes look at NORAD that will help us track Santa's sleigh on Christmas Eve.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we now have pictures of the two people who died on Tuesday in that helicopter crash. This is Chris Dougherty and Monroe Smith. They both worked for 6ABC in Philadelphia. Monroe Smith was 67 years old and Christopher Dougherty was 45 years old. The helicopter went down Tuesday night when they were returning from an assignment near the Jersey Shore. The team there says they have been part of the Action News team for years. Smith was a retired Army pilot, was so proud of his son, who is also a military pilot. And we've learned that Dougherty is survived by two daughters and a wife.
Sales of emergency contraception in the U.S. may surge following New Year's celebrations. A new study published in one of the oldest general medical journals found the trend has occurred over the past several years, with sales spiking by 10% in the new year. New Year's Eve gatherings are often associated with decreased access to and use of contraception. The study found that Valentine's Day and Independence Day were also associated with more sales, but to a lesser extent.
Well, COVID cases are on the rise again. And according to the Centers for Disease Control, the rates of infection are expected to continue on a steady incline through the holidays. As Jonathan Seary reports, the latest variant, JN1, appears to be more contagious than some other COVID forms, as indicated by its rapid spread.
Just in time for all those holiday gatherings, COVID is on the rise once again. The CDC says all Americans should be on the lookout for the latest variant, JN.1. It's now the fastest growing strain in the U.S., accounting for about 21% of new COVID infections. The variant first emerged back in September. It's thought to have originated in India and spread quickly there due to a lack of mitigation efforts like masking and social distancing.
People kind of want to forget whatever happened in the past and they want to move ahead. So they think that the COVID does not exist now. So because of that ignorance, there is increase in number of cases.
COVID hospitalizations and deaths both increased about 3% in the past week. Public health officials say because this latest variant is so contagious and because of the winter and holiday seasons, there's more opportunity for the virus to spread. And those at-home testing kits aren't as effective at detecting the new strain.
What we're seeing now is often you have to be symptomatic for a few days for those home test kits to pick up COVID.
Good news, there's no evidence yet that it causes more severe illness than previous variants. Still, health officials and lawmakers are pleading with the public to remain vigilant and get the latest vaccine boosters.
And you still got hangover from COVID, you know, a couple years after the peak of COVID is gone. And that's not just in America.
And that was Jonathan Seary reporting. Now, the CDC says the latest boosters are expected to work against the JN1 strain.
Okay, we are just days away from when Santa will soon be delivering presents around the world. He and the reindeer log a lot of miles doing that.
Oh, they do. For nearly 70 years, the North American Aerospace Defense Command, better known as NORAD, has been helping us track Santa's every move. Kennedy Hayes takes us behind the scenes for a look at the preparations.
We track Santa with the same assets that we use to keep the North American continent safe every day, which is our jets, our radars, and our satellites.
This year, NORAD will track Santa in this center on the Peterson Space Force Base in Colorado Springs.
Even though Santa is faster than Starlight, with their powers combined, we get a really good sight image of where he is at all times.
Military and civilian volunteers flood in from 4 a.m. to midnight.
This is one of the first stops for our volunteers as soon as they enter through the hangar and they're greeted.
The modern tradition of tracking Santa started in 1955 when a child dialed an unlisted requested NORAD phone number in an advertisement. A colonel picked up, and the child asked where St. Nick was. 68 years later, NORAD Track Santa has grown into a massive operation.
Well, we got just under 100 phones in this location. We'll probably take, in the past, we've taken over 250,000 calls in the 20-hour period of time.
Preparing to share Santa updates in 8 different languages means all hands on deck for volunteers and U.S. Canada NORAD teams.
Last year, we took a call from a group of kids in Ukraine who were calling on a little battery phone, and they said all that they wanted was for Santa to turn their power back on. So it's moments like that that just give us all pause and remind us of the global reach that NORAD Track Santa has and the importance.
And that was Kennedy Hayes reporting. Now, of course, NORAD can't predict exactly when Santa will be coming down your chimney, but it appears he only arrives when children are asleep.
We have some exciting news to share with you. WRAL's 35th annual Coats for the Children campaign has raised more than $168,000. Now through December 31st, drop off a new or gently used coat, hats, and gloves to outfit a child for the winter. You can drop off coats at your local Jiffy Lube. One local organization shared why it decided to get involved.
With Rough Riders is any member coming in has to do a charity. So a young lady years ago decided that we were going to do a charity for Salvation Army donating coats. And we just stuck with it. So, and honestly and truthfully, we just want to help where we can.
You can make a secure donation at WRAL.com/coats, or you can scan the QR code on your television right now to give. Again, you have until the end of the year. Let's keep that total growing.
Of course, as cold as it's been the last couple of days, we know those coats are very valuable.
Very much so. Coat weather for sure as we kind of warm up in the afternoons. But then by the weekend, Anthony, it'll get warm.
Yeah, today officially is the first day of winter. We technically hit the solstice later on this evening, just after about 10 o'clock or so when the official start is. But it still feels like it out there for us. We're slowly starting to warm up nicely. Here is a live look, though, our Fayetteville camera. One thing you've likely noticed if you've been out, some of the clouds have kind of streamed in from our west and they're pushing across most of our viewing area. Here's where we sit right now, our satellite. You can see there are some breaks. There's some sunshine getting through, but it's these very upper level high clouds that kind of obscure that sunshine just a little bit. Temperatures, though, thankfully have still warmed up nicely. We're at 56 in Raleigh, Durham, 55 in Goldsboro, 53 in Clinton. Due to that, I've actually bumped up the high temperature just a couple degrees in Raleigh. I think we'll probably be right about 58, 57 or so. That's where we go today, and then here's where we look the next couple of days as we head into the weekend, or 58 rather for our Saturday. We're right about 57 today. 64 Christmas Eve. We're at 65 on Christmas, 62 as we head into our Tuesday. We should be good to go until we get into that next system that arrives there Christmas night into Tuesday. That's where we're going to watch this kind of front pushing through. It will have some showers with it. It does not look like it's going to come with a severe threat or anything like that, thankfully, but it could make traveling back home or just anybody still coming into town on Tuesday a little bit wet. Here's where the system currently is. There could be almost a little bit of a clipper, just a smaller system, if you will, up toward Ohio by early Saturday morning. Our next one, though, comes in from the west, you see, by about Sunday, Monday time frame. We get to Monday afternoon, Christmas heading into the night, afternoon, late afternoon or so. Most of the moisture is still down to the west. We should still, or most down to the south, rather. We should be dry up until this point. So I think the bulk of our forecast here through the weekend, through the majority of our day on Christmas, is looking good before that rain gets in on Tuesday. Once it's here, it sticks with us for a little bit. There's Wednesday early morning, and then it is out of here. So traveling home should be okay on Wednesday if you can push those plans back just a day or so to kind of save yourself that hassle of driving in the rain. Otherwise, it will be all rainfall, no winter weather. Our beach forecast here as we head into tomorrow. If you're planning to spend the holiday here at the coast, 59 Wilmington, 56 Wrightsville. Chilly there, 49 at Nags Head, but otherwise should be feeling pretty good as far as a lot of sunshine. All across the mountains, 58 Asheville, 62 Bryson City, 52 in Boone. No snow or anything expected, but I think it still will be pretty chilly for those ski resorts and just everyone headed that way to still enjoy a pretty good time. Heading through the next couple days into our holiday itself, 58 for us today. Again, that first official start to winter is about 10:20 or so this evening, so just keep that in mind. 53 tomorrow, 58 on Saturday. Temperatures, though, that's going to be one big story for us this weekend. They climb up there to 65 by the time we get into Christmas Day. Rain chances, though, work their way in, and then as we head into Tuesday, still stick with us. We drop to 61 on Wednesday. Thursday, and Wednesday, guys, will be the better day to travel. But all in all, looking like a very nice but warm Christmas forecast for this time of year.
Well, that's North Carolina. We get all kinds of temperatures around the holidays. Anthony, thank you. Attention coffee lovers. Consumer Reports puts machines and mugs to the test to find out which products keep your cup of joe hot all day long.
And today at 6, we are getting you a first look at new designs for the upgrades coming to Smoky Hollow Park. Matt Tallham shows us the plans and how you can share your opinion. But our new news continues now. This nationwide pharmacy chain using facial recognition to unfairly target people of color. The punishment handed down by a government agency.
Plus, an estranged member of one of Europe's richest families wants to leave part of his fortune to his former gardener, but his wishes won't be carried out without a fight.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we are following some breaking news. At least 15 people are dead and 25 are hurt after a shooting at a university in Prague. Police say the shooting happened at Charles University inside the philosophy department building. We are learning that the shooter has also been killed. Authorities said they were helping students evacuate after they locked themselves in classrooms during that shooting. Some classmates even walking to the ledge of the university building to hide. They are still searching the area, including the university's balconies, for any explosives that may be left behind. But what we know right now, at least 15 people are dead, 25 hurt, 9 seriously hurt.
Awful situation. Michelle, thank you. Toyota is recalling about 1 million cars in the U.S. because of a possible defect with the sensor in the front passenger side airbag. Toyota says the sensor could short circuit, preventing the airbag from deploying in a crash. There are 6 models being recalled, covering the year 2020 to 22, including the Camry, RAV4, and Lexus ES and RX. Toyota will notify owners by mid-February. Rite Aid is now banned from using facial recognition technology for the next 5 years. The pharmacy reached a settlement with the Federal Trade Commission after the agency found Rite Aid used the software to unfairly target people of color. The FTC says the company used facial recognition in hundreds of stores to identify people likely to engage in shoplifting. The technology led employees to act on false positive alerts and wrongly identified customers as criminals. Rite Aid says the technology was part of a pilot program used in a limited number of stores.
A descendant of Europe's richest family is reportedly planning to leave his former gardener at least half of his $13 billion fortune. The 80-year-old wants to cut ties with a charity he founded and instead make his employee a legal heir. Nicholas Pugh recently began the legal process of formally adopting his unnamed former gardener and handyman. Pugh refers to the unnamed married father of two as his adopted son. The Hermes family is reportedly the world's third wealthiest. 115 million Americans on the move, most on the roads and in the air, the most since 2019.
RDU is expecting to end this year with a record-breaking number of travelers as we head into this busy part of the holiday season. Coming up, what you need to know if you're headed out to fly.
Plus, when do you take down your holiday decorations? Day after Christmas, before the new year, or weeks later? Turns out there is no one right answer. An expert weighs in during our next half hour. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
If you are flying out for the holidays, prepare to see a lot of people waiting in the TSA security line with you.
Yeah, the TSA expects today and tomorrow will be the busiest days at the airports all across the country ahead of Christmas. WREL's Kelsey Coffey is at RDU with a look at the rush.
RDU is expecting more than 800,000 travelers this holiday season. The TSA line has cleared out for now, but check out this video from earlier this morning. As millions of people are flying out ahead of Christmas, TSA is reminding people about packing gifts. They recommend packing gifts in a gift bag or box. Don't wrap them. That way, if there is an issue in the security line, the folks at TSA can easily pull it out. Today, the TSA line here at RDU cleared out before 7 this morning, but some airlines had long lines where people were waiting to check their bags.
Normally, we try to get here 2 hours before, and that's always more than enough time. But this morning, the line, I've never seen a line this long, especially to be in the line. And I would say get here at least 4 hours before time.
Or hey, maybe you're staying here for the holidays and your family is coming to you. Well, RDU recommends that you wait for them in the cell lot. That's an easy place to park. It's free and it helps you avoid the hassle of waiting in all that traffic as you wait for your loved ones to arrive. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News at RDU.
And if you're driving for the holidays, you can expect some relief at the pump. New numbers released by AAA early this morning show the average price of a gallon of gas in North Carolina is $2.96. That's 16 cents less than the national average, which is $3.12. At least 27 states have prices below $3 right now. You can find the lowest gas prices near you by going to our website, WRL.com, searching Fuel Tracker.
A Holly Springs town council member who was just sworn in earlier this month is charged with DWI. Christopher DeShazer was arrested after crashing into the woods off North Main Street around 12:15 Wednesday morning, just hours after the town council meeting. DeShazer is due in court on January 5th. A home on Nicky Avenue in Fayetteville is the center of an investigation after a six-month-old and a man were shot. Police say they responded to Cape Fear Valley Medical Center for a man with a gunshot wound around 9:40 Tuesday night. Then they found the baby who had been shot in this home on Nicky Avenue. Members of the Seabrook Braudel Neighborhood Watch tell WRL they are stunned by the violence. Tonight, Wake County will honor those who died this year while they were homeless. There will be a candlelight vigil and name reading ceremony. The event is happening at 7:15 at the South Wilmington Street Center in Raleigh.
Our WRL doc unit is sharing news stories from some of their most powerful documentaries over the last year. WRL investigative documentary reporter Kristen Severin joins us now to talk about their brand new special called Where Are They Now? Airing Christmas Day. Kristen, great to see you.
So good to see you.
Looking back at these powerful stories, walk us through some of the ones that have stood out to you.
Oh, Ken, all of them really stick with you. It was amazing to really check back in to see how some of the people in our documentaries are doing. If you remember, Critical Term was a documentary I produced and reported on with WRAL anchor Julian Grace. We investigated the maternal and infant mortality crisis in the U.S. and set out to uncover why black moms and babies are dying more than any other race. You know, black moms are twice as likely to die in North Carolina from pregnancy-related complications compared to white moms. Dayana Hughes was a pregnant mom in our documentary. She was part of this program through UNC, Duke, and Vanderbilt that paired moms with doulas. And a doula, if you don't know, is basically a coach for a mom, her advocate and partner throughout the entire pregnancy. Well, if you remember, we were there when Dayana gave birth to her son, Denver. It was an absolutely incredible experience, but it was also scary. You know, Jay Jennings, longtime WRAL photographer, was there in the hospital room during the birth, and there was a scare. You know, Dayana, she lost a lot of blood. Doctors and nurses had to be called in to save her. And we talked to Dayana and her nurse midwife, Venus Standard, about the night that Denver was born in our show airing on Christmas. Here's just a small snippet from the show. You really believed what? Having Venus and your doula there. What do you think that meant that night?
I feel like if they weren't there, this would be a totally different outcome. I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you right now. Because she listened. I told her, I said, something does not feel right. I don't feel right. And she said, I know, you're bleeding more than I would like, and I can stop it. I just need time. I just have to stop it. And I was like, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm going to make it through. So it was at the time, it was really terrible. I was crying. I was like,
I'm scared.
I'm like, I never get to see my son again, my mom.
That's what she said to me.
Nothing. So
that's
it was
what she
scary.
Said. I'm not going to be here to raise my son. I said, yes, you will.
And this program saved my daughter. Because God put them in her path. I just believe that God put everyone in place. And it was like a beautiful orchestra. Even the uncertain time, it was a beautiful orchestra. And Venus, I can't put it in words because there is no words for how she maneuvered. I don't know, that little boy. I don't know. Like, he's amazing. He's awesome. He's very intelligent. And he just makes my day. And I'm so grateful that he's here. And I'm grateful that my daughter is here just to witness what God gave her.
Remember how moving that was.
I know, and to see him now, Ken. I mean, you know, we're both parents.
Yeah.
I want to cry just even watching that small snippet. But it was really heartwarming just to see how Dayon is doing, see how Denver is doing, and really talk about that scary moment, you know, when we weren't sure what was going to happen.
And one documentary that stuck with me were the hurricane victims.
Yes.
And many of them still weren't back in their homes.
Right. Remember, they were waiting years. So during the show, we do talk to a couple. They were living in a hotel for months. We check in with hurricane survivors from our Aftermath documentary. And we also talk to a mom from our fentanyl documentary called Crisis Next Door about her really just incredible story of forgiveness. So I hope people can watch.
Yeah.
They will smile. And they may shed a tear or two.
I think we might have to have the tissue nearby.
Yes.
Kristen, thanks so much.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to it. Of course, you can watch Where Are They Now on Christmas evening at 7:30 p.m. or by going to WRELDocumentary.com.
At some point, the Christmas decorations will have to come down. But when is that point? What the experts have to say about tradition, convenience, and preference. And a little later, how artificial intelligence and technology can improve the lives of your four-legged family members. Take WRL with you on your holiday travels. Keep up with breaking news and important weather alerts with the WRL News app.
A Harnett County bus driver who saved dozens of students from a burning bus appeared on the Drew Barrymore Show this morning. We first brought you this story last month. Monica Tyson Crawford jumped into action and helped 38 kids get off a bus near Ben Haven Elementary School just moment before that bus burst into flames. Well, today the students she saved surprised her with messages of thanks on the Drew Barrymore Show.
Miss Tyson, I love you because you get us home safely every single day, and you're also our school mom at Ben Haven Elementary. We love you.
Oh.
Well, earlier this month, Tyson Crawford was awarded the Harnett County Superintendent's Shining Star Award.
Oh, such the sweetest tributes from those students. A Michigan woman recently experienced two major milestones. She received her bachelor's degree with her newborn baby girl tucked in her gown. The 24-year-old balanced work, school, and family life with her husband for the last 6 years. Well, the couple already had a son. Mom was scheduled to have a C-section on December 18th, but her daughter had other plans. She decided to arrive on December 6th, 10 days before the commencement ceremony. The graduate says her mother gave her the idea to keep her baby with her throughout the ceremony. So you're all snuggled in the gown. And get this, she graduated magna cum laude with a degree in early childhood education. How awesome is that?
Perfect. Supermom. And she'll remember that forever. Well, first is the debate over how early Christmas decorations pop up at businesses and around people's homes. Now, people are chiming in on when they should come down. We'll share varying opinions on the right time to store your holiday decor.
Plus, high-tech gadgets are making it easy for pet owners to track their fur babies. How some devices are making it easier to also keep them healthy.
/12:44 right now, breaking news in southern Johnston County, where we have a crash on I-95 between Four Oaks and Benson. Both southbound lanes are blocked right now, and traffic is getting by on the shoulder. You can see those heavy backups as you head out of Four Oaks. Also on the northbound side of 95, delays begin right there at the I-40 interchange in Benson. So the best alternate route to get between Benson and Four Oaks for the next little while, at least, is going to be 301. It's in good shape between the two. Of course, you can check that traffic map at WRL.com or the WRL News app before you head out.
Brian, thanks. Well, twinkling lights and an assortment of ornaments may help create a festive atmosphere inside your home, right? But at some point, the holidays end and it all have to come down.
Brian Yanis has expert advice on when you should pack it all away.
It took hours, maybe even days, to deck the halls for Christmas. But when is the right time to take it all down?
First week of January.
So I usually take them down January 6th.
Honestly, 2 or 3 weeks after New Year's Eve.
Like April.
And experts say they're all correct, whether you take off the trimmings on December 26th or leave them up well into the new year.
It all comes down to personal preference and cultural beliefs and family tradition.
Generally, the Western tradition is to leave festive fixtures up 12 days following Christmas, which is January 6th. And those who are Eastern Orthodox observe the holiday on January 7th. But professional organizer Lori Reese says waiting for Santa to return to the North Pole is only a mile marker.
When it comes to indoor decorations, there's no hard, fast rule. I think you should do what feels right for your household.
But not for outdoor decor that could annoy your neighbors.
People generally will take them down at the end of the season, but they also may want to take down their exterior lights and decorations if there's inclement weather coming. They may also want to check with their neighbors and see what's customary for their neighborhood.
But before packing everything away, Reese has this advice.
Wrap up your Christmas lights neatly so they're not a tangled mess. If there's decorations that have gotten tired, maybe don't put them back in storage.
Yeah, that was Ryan Yenis reporting. Make sure you're paying attention to the health of your tree. If it dries out, it becomes a fire hazard and will need to be removed from your house earlier than planned. We have an artificial tree, so it might be up through, you know, mid-January. I don't know. Whenever the indoor stuff, we'll just take it down when we want to.
And because, you know, you want to hold on to that festive mood.
Oh, absolutely. January.
It feels festive outside in terms of the weather.
It certainly does. It is cool and seasonal. And Anthony, just when we get used to that, it'll start to warm up again.
Yeah, we're talking 60s, guys, for Christmas Eve and into Christmas. So we kind of have the cooler side right now, and then we slowly start to warm temperatures up into this weekend. I'm really, on the whole, though, liking the forecast here for the holiday. Just as far as a lack of rainfall, it's going to be pretty calm. Traveling should be in good shape until we get into our Tuesday and Wednesday, which we'll go over here shortly. A beautiful look, though, outside right now in Clinton. Yes, it's a little bit cool, but for the most part, feeling pretty comfortable after our very chilly start this morning. We do have some clouds kind of filtering in from a disturbance back to our west. That's not going to really bring any rainfall with it or anything. It just kind of obscures the sunshine just a little bit. That may keep temperatures from getting a little bit higher than where they otherwise could if we did not have that cloud cover in place. We're at 56, though, in Durham and Raleigh, 53. Good afternoon to you in Rocky Mount. Feeling a little bit cool, like I said, but about where we should be for this time of year. Our normal's 54. We're going to be at 58 today, 53 tomorrow, 58 once again there on Saturday. And then we see that climb into Christmas Eve, Christmas Day in the 60s. Hard to believe. It's going to be well above where we should be. Our warmest Christmas ever, though, was in the mid-70s. We will not get there, but it's just going to not necessarily feel as holiday-esque into early next week. Travel problem-wise, of course, lots of people headed out in on the roads, in the air, everywhere across the United States here. Here's a look at today's forecast for any potential impacts, problems, things like that. We are good to go smooth sailing in our part of the country. There's a little sliver back toward Dallas, and as you head up into the middle part of the country, that's a moderate impact. So there could be some showers, some thunderstorms there. The red, that high impact, starts to get a little bit closer to Los Angeles here into our Friday. But again, notice we are still good to go. Then it kind of creeps a little bit closer, I would say the moderate impact, if you will, into Christmas night into Tuesday. And that's what we're looking at, the best chances of some showers. 70% chance there Christmas night into our Tuesday. 60s, though, here through the majority of Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, 62 into Tuesday itself. Maybe a little bit breezy on Christmas, but for the most part, the days leading up to the holiday look pretty good. We take a wide view. Here's Futurecast starting us off today. We have the clouds kind of in place, but for the most part, pretty calm today and tomorrow. We don't really see any moisture starting to approach our direction until we get into this next system early next week. I'll pause this here, 6 p.m. Christmas evening. A lot of that rainfall is trying to get closer. We've seen some of the models maybe suggest it'll get here a little bit earlier. At this point, it still looks like late afternoon into Christmas night and then again into the day on Tuesday before it continues to push on out by Wednesday morning. So that at this point looks like the timing. If that changes, we will for sure wave or fine-tune that here into this weekend. We're at 53 tomorrow, 58 on Saturday. Temperatures warm up there, guys, 65 on Christmas Day, 62 by Tuesday, and then still in the low 60s by the time we head into Wednesday.
Anthony, we appreciate that. Well, using tech to protect your pets. After the break, how artificial intelligence is not only helping owners keep track of their fur babies, but it's also keeping them healthy.
And here's a look at the Powerball numbers. No one hit the jackpot last night, so it will grow to $620 million.
As we wrap things up here, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Mooresville police arrested 33-year-old Priyanka Tiwari for murdering her 10-year-old child. She's in court today facing murder and child abuse charges. Investigators responded to a 911 call at that home on Craigmead Drive where the boy was found. Police have been called to that house 8 times this year.
An update on the I-40 widening project. New lanes around the Clayton Bypass are open. The construction started in